And it's always the best day ever when our brother Carlos Lane Anderson is with us. Is he here yet, Leo? There he is. Brother Carlos, say hello. Say something, because can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can now hear you.
Okay.
We are connected whether we hear each other or not. I'm so glad to see you.
I'm so glad to see you, brother. So glad to be at Unity of New York today.
We're all grateful that you're at Unity of New York today. You have had quite a life, quite a week. We're just so overflowing with gratitude and love for you. And I hope that you always know that.
I do, brother. And I hope you all always know that.
I think we do. Yeah, so know that I'm holding you right here in this space as you share your message today. I'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay. Wow, 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 wow. What a past couple or several weeks I've had. I can see myself on the computer screen, and if I were looking at me and not knowing me, I would go, oh, he looks like he's maybe been doing a little bit of crying, or maybe a lot of crying. Those of you who were at that summer Unity retreat that I was blessed to be asked to be a part of, found out that I'm a crybaby. I cry fully when I'm sad, but those times are very much outdone by how much I cry for the joy of being alive. I love your planet. I love your planet. And knowing that I'm here just for a brief visit increases my love for your planet. It's awesome. You've got things like trees. Trees are one of my favorites of the things about your planet. And water. And those things that fly through the sky, birds. And those little things that fly around flowers. Bees. This planet is filled and overflowing with majesty. And so I chose my title this morning for my talk, Marvel at the Beauty of the World. I always practice marveling at the beauty of the world, and my practice of it always gets turned up. The volume of my joy, the volume of my amazement at this opportunity to just be here on this planet for a while is certainly turned up when someone I love and care for has arrived at their time to put off their garment of mortality and to put on their garment of immortality. I'm sure most of you have heard that last Sunday, my sister Rhonda Jean, the last of the Anderson Six, put off her garment of mortality and put on her garment of immortality. And all week long, we've been making arrangements. And after this service with you all at Unity of New York, I will be washing and dressing and heading out the door, going to Hope Church for a very social, distanced celebration of life for my sister, Rhonda Jean Anderson Gordon. It'll be my first time seeing her urn when I get to the church. It will say Rhonda Gordon, June 5th, 1953, dash September 27th, 2020. I talk about the dash a lot. And in my private times with my sister, she's been just overwhelming me with gratitude for all of the things that she says came out of my mouth, out of my heart, out of my soul, and into her, that forwarded her and her capacity to just marvel at the beauty of the world. One of those things was the dash that I've shared with many of you. I've shared it everywhere I've preached over the last 15 years or so since I came into an awareness of the concept that we're just here living a dash. My sister Rhonda was a trip, and she always said, boy, you're the trip. She was a self. She was authentic. She always said what was on her mind. She didn't pull no punches. And she only followed her own spirit. She was a product of being raised in the Anderson clan. The Andersons were our own clan. We were our own culture. We did our own thing. My father was a Baptist preacher. My mom was a Pentecostal. And so my dad left the Baptist path and joined mama in the Pentecostal movement. And so we were raised to believe all kinds of things about God, particularly God's mad, I'm bad, and I'm going to get it. We were taught that God was far away from us. The God we were taught about was more like a Santa Claus. He knows when you're waking. He knows when you're asleep. He knows when you've been good or bad. So be good, for goodness sake, or you won't get no presents. Well, when we would get home from church listening to messages like that, Dad would say, don't believe everything you hear, even if it's a preacher you're hearing it from. That's not the God that I know. The God that I know is a universal spirit, loving all, holding all, blessing all, having created all. And so Dad and Mom had four kids, and they taught us all, know who you are and be that. And we all got very good at knowing who we were and very good at being that. Rhonda was the kind of person that if someone rushed up to her after church and said, oh my God, I've got to be your friend. The Spirit is telling me that me and you are destined to be really close. We're destined to be good, good friends, and I can't wait. And Rhonda would just look at them and go, that's not what God is telling me. If God tells me at some point what he's telling you, we can reconnect. But right now, God is not saying that. We all thought Rhonda was mean. She said, I'm not mean. I have boundaries. One of the biggest things she taught me was that I had no boundaries and that I needed some. I'm like many, many people who were molested when they were children, who were programmed not to ever be able to say no, programmed never to stand up for ourselves. Programmed to just be nodding yes, even while the person was still in the midst of asking us what they wanted of us. It took a long, long time for her to finally get me to get that self-love is so important and self-care is vital. My sister Rhonda lived in Seattle for quite a while. In between the time that Dad still had the church and then my father made his transition, and I was asked if Johnny Earl and I would move back to Massachusetts to take over the ministry. And we were programmed into Unity. Unity, Science of Mind, Course in Miracles, but predominantly Unity. We traveled all over through the 80s to all of the Unity churches. So when my father made his transition and Rhonda flew back for his celebration of life service, she sat in that church and she was experiencing the service, and she had a frown on her face. I didn't know why she was frowning. I thought she was just grieving, but it looked like she was upset. After about the 12th person speaking had mentioned the word Reverend Anderson, or Pastor Anderson, has made transition, Rhonda couldn't take it anymore. She stood to her face and she turned around to that congregation and she went, "Daddy didn't make transition. He died. He's dead. I don't know what's up with all this unity language. You say made transition like that's going to make it hurt less or make you get it more or understand it more. But I got to say it again. Daddy didn't make transition. Daddy died." That's the kind of person Rhonda was. She would say what was on her mind. Last Sunday was her partner Keith's birthday. We were all called into the hospital on that preceding Thursday to say our goodbyes. They did not expect her to be lucid after that day or coherent after that day. Now is the time to go talk to her and have your one-on-one with her while she is still able to understand and respond coherently and lucidly. And so we all went over and we said our goodbyes and we affirmed her and she affirmed us. But she didn't die that day. She was still racked in pain, wincing constantly. And so they thought, well, probably by noon on Friday. She made it through morning, noon, evening on Friday. And they said probably tonight. She made it through the night. Well, certainly tomorrow. So here we are on a church service on last Sunday. I'm doing Brookline. Keith has said on Sunday morning, when I checked in with Hope Church and checked in with him, he said, "Man, this was a Saturday actually when I checked, man, I hope your sister goes tonight or waits till Monday, because I don't want to live the rest of my life knowing that that girl died on my birthday, so that every birthday I have is my birthday and her death day. I don't want that girl doing that to me." I said, "Brother Keith, knowing that girl, she is going to wait till tomorrow, but she ain't going to wait till Monday. Knowing that girl, this is what I see. Hey, Keith, have I got a birthday present for you? Peace. I'm out." And that's what happened. That's what happened. Rhonda was so afraid when I had my car accident February 9th. And it was broken up all over. One break being on my, having broken my neck and being instructed that the slightest little move could bring the fracture down 1/4 inch, which would mean I would be a paraplegic. There were all kinds of prognoses and concerns and fears about me. And Rhonda said to me, "Boy, you better not die before me." And I said, "And you better not die before me." It was after my accident that Rhonda started telling me about her challenges, about the fact that she had cancer, the situation, and what was happening. And as I got better and better through my ordeal, and she got weaker and weaker through hers, she began sharing with me more and more about who I am to her. And I was able to share with her more and more who she is to me. Rhonda started saying things like, "Carlos, Carlos, Carlos, some of the little things that you say have changed my life. You say things I ain't never heard of before. You say it's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. But this is the deal. You don't just say it. You mean it. You say things like, God bless everybody in the whole wide world without exception. And you mean it. That's what gets me about you. You mean these things. Back during a presidential run, when everybody around here was talking crap about Trump, you would intervene and cut them off and say, don't be talking about my brother like that. Pray for Donnie. I do. And you mean it. But the best thing, Carlos, the best thing you gave me was when you shared that while we're here, there are very, very, very few things that really matter. But the few things that do matter really, 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 really matter. You said those are eternal things. They are riches of heaven, not of earth. Things that really, really, really matter are being loving and kind and hopeful, looking on the bright side, giving thanks and praise through it all, through thick and thin, when you're on the mountaintop and when you're in the valley, when you're walking through a field of flowers, and when you're walking even through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what I realized, Carlos, Rhonda said to me that Thursday when I was having my private 2 or 2.5 hours with her. She said, this is the thing I get the most about. There are very few things that matter. I get how addicted so many of us are to the things that don't really matter. I see how addicted we are to find proof that what we say we believe about God and the universe is actually not true. As far as the unity principles go, she said that first principle that you've shared with us, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God, the good, omnipotent. How many people have said those words, believing they believe them, only to find themselves addicted to looking for proof that that principle is not the truth. Addicted for looking for news of tragedy, news of horror, news of division, news of injustice, news that shouts out loud that there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, and that that is God and that is good, is a big fat lie. We find the news that is bad news. We search for it. We find it. And we spread the news that principle number one is a lie. God is a power, but not the only power. There is God, and there is not God. Can't you see not God when not God is in your face? I can say all day long, there's only one presence and one power. But if I catch myself, I'm looking for the proof that there are other presences, such as the presence of darkness, the presence of hatred, the presence of division, and that there are other powers, the power of darkness, the power of hatred, the power of inequity. Carlos, 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 she told me Thursday, you sure did have it right. While we're here, there are very, very few things that really matter. But the things that do matter really, 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 really matter. She said, I always wanted peace, but how could I have it? I'm addicted to the news. I'm addicted for searching and to finding and to spreading the news. God is not all there is. It's amazing how many of us find ourselves addicted to the things that don't matter while giving so much less time to the things that really, 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 really matter. Loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves. Loving those in our surround and taking care of them. Being slow to anger and quick to forgive. Dropping the rock, letting go of the story of our pain, moving onward and upward, marveling at the beauty of the world. One of my favorite scriptures was when the disciples gathered around Jesus and said, tell us, when will the kingdom of heaven arrive? And Jesus says, it'll be nothing you can see with your physical eyes because you aren't looking for it. He said, it's not a matter of, hey, there it is and here it comes. Or, ho, there it is and here it comes. He said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is all around you. And then he said, let those who have eyes see. He's talking about the eyes of Christ, the eyes that seek the good news and find it. Seek the good news and spread it. That God is present with us everywhere, all the time, keeping us safe. We're only here for a little while, a little dash. We get to use our mind and our time in any way we want. She said, Carlos, 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 I admire the way you use your mind and your time. You really seem like you are in heaven most of the time. And I said, Rhonda Jean, I am in heaven all of the time. I have moments of forgetting, closing my eyes, nodding off. But quickly I awaken. Awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you. Christ is oneness, knowing that we are one with one another and one with God. That's living your life on purpose. Marvel at the beauty of the world. There's so much beauty to marvel at. Clouds, leaves, the furred ones, the finned ones, the scaled ones, the four-leggeds, and the two-leggeds, all unique, all a self, all being what each of them has the right to be. I love that girl. I truly do. She was afraid that I would die and she wouldn't know what to do without me. When Crystal died and Rhonda and I were at her house cleaning it out, we had so many emotional breakdowns. One of us would suddenly burst into sobbing and the other would join and we would sob and sob and sob until we were utterly and completely exhausted. And after one of those sobbing sessions, Rhonda brought levity that she and I both needed. She got my attention and looked me in the eye and said, "Carlos, I can't believe that girl pulled a stunt like this, dying on us." Well, I've said now the same about her. "Tim, I can't believe that girl pulled a stunt like this, dying on us." Throughout all of my Pentecostal days, all the songs were about the joy of getting to heaven. What a party we were going to have when the saints of every nation get together. We're going to have a good time. We're crossing over one by one. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. So I happen to have died and happen to know that the other side is pure light, pure music, and pure joy. But I didn't want any of my family rushing to get there. Yesterday, I had Timothy put three white moms on three chairs, three outdoor furniture chairs that I have on my second terrace, chairs that I got from Mom. When you look up the terrace, you see those chairs. I had him put a white mom on all three. And for me, they represent my brother Chuck, who made transition or died first. And then my kid sister Crystal, who made transition, or as Rhonda would say, died second. And the third mom represents Rhonda, who has just now made her transition, or as she would put it, died and gone to heaven. I told Timothy that the reason why I wanted him to put those three white moms up on mom's chairs was so that I could give them what they mean to me, give them the meaning I want them to have for me. And every time I look up there now, this is the meaning I've given those moms. They are Chuck, Crystal, and Rhonda telling me what they wanted from me. And this is what they want. "Don't you hurry to join us now. Don't you be in no big hurry to join us now. You're the one left to keep on putting one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot in front of another foot, marching on even through the valley of the shadow of death. You stay there and you keep saying things like, 'God bless everybody in the whole wide world without exception.' You keep saying, 'It's the best day ever and I will not change my mind.' And keep believing it. And keep doing it." This is what the Andersons have always been about doing. I'm so grateful for my clan. I don't even know how to tell it all. As I said, we were our own culture. We were our own tribe. We love God. We know God loves us. To us, God is not our father. got us Abba. Daddy. God is my daddy and loves me with an everlasting love. I have a secret. God loves me as though I were the only one, has ever loved. That's how I feel. Leo, brother, people called us the little rascals. We were poor. This is Rhonda, me, and Bonzo, 1958. This is the four of us. When you're raised in the ghetto, you gotta look mean. And it helps to have a mean dog. This is us. No more longer in the ghetto, in the house of God. Me and Rhonda's teenagers, loving each other up in loving memory. Rhonda Jean Gordon, June 5th, 1953, dash, September 27th, 2020. A dash of great significance. Make your dash a dash of great significance. Tend to the few things that really, 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 really matter. And please don't forget to marvel at the beauty of the world. Peace.
Peace. Indeed. To the remaining of the Anderson Six, I salute you.
The grand finale.
And I am also grateful that you are the remaining of the Anderson Six. And I am also grateful that our dashes have crossed at this time.
Absolutely.
Let's continue to marvel at the beauty of the earth.
Absolutely, brother.
I love how you always open my eyes a little bit more to the truth. And just so grateful. And you know that I'm holding you up. You've held me up many times, and we share that reciprocal energy. Are you able, I know that you've got a service later. Are you able to stick around for just a little bit after?
Yes, I am. Yes, I
am. We have something very special for you coming up.
Yes, I talked to Leo, and Leo gave me a heads up, and I told him that I was glad for the heads up because, yes, I do have time to stick around, and I'm looking forward to it. And I would be remiss if I didn't say what a blessing it was. Leo's song with David on the piano. I miss you, Rascal, so much. And David just, you're playing. And I was so grateful they put the camera on your fingers.
That was me. I'm David.
That was you?
You better put your eyeglasses on. Hello?
Well, you can't see very well. That was you. Well, let me tell you. Well, everything. Well, I was supposed to be letting David know right now that I miss him, but that was you. You know, the two of you blessed my soul.
You bless our soul.
All right.
God is funny.
God is really funny. God cracks me up.
Well, laughter is a perfect setup for meditation. So I love you. We love you. And we'll see you again in a little bit. Okay?
Okay. All righty.
All right. Peace. Let's all sit up. sit up tall, whatever name you're going by today, and take a breath, a deep breath, and let it all out. And let's remember that this now moment is the only moment there is. As we meditate and we look for the good with Carlos.
Look for the good, always and forever. Look for the good and you will find it there. Right where you seek it, you will find it. It waits patiently for your notice. Good. Everywhere. Every now moment of time. In some circumstances, it may not appear easy. Not an easy thing to accomplish. This quest to seek the good. Do it anyway, to the best of your ability. Do it anyway. You begin with a decision. You continue through practice. Practice seeking good. Find some small thing, some even little thing you might call good. Though it is not to be found in every circumstance, it can, though, be found in the consciousness you bring to the experience of the circumstance. Look for the good of growth and of learning that is available for notice in each experience and in all conditions of your living. Look for the good. Look always for the good. Rest your attention upon it. Increase it through the power of your choice. Magnify it by deciding to. Multiply it as your ritual of devotion to the cause of happiness. Do this out of intention. The work is yours to do, this work like play. Look and look and look again for the good. Always look for good. If you seek it, you will find it. If you ask, it will be given. If you knock at the door to its possibility, that door will open, and good will surely spring to life. Knock. Ask. Seek. Find. Look for the good, always and forever. Look for good. Amen.